Welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Please take a moment and pause this podcast right now and share it with somebody who you would think would enjoy the same topic, whether it's a family member, friend, coworker. I would really appreciate it. Please go to covertnerd.net for all of the previous episodes and the different ways that you can get in touch with me.
We're here.
And without further ado, Ruth, let's dive right in
and nerd it out. And we're going to get a reaction from her on the WWF main event from February 5th, 1988, which had 33 million viewers at the time. Now, you have to remember, to put this in context, there's no internet, of course. At that time, the United States had about 180 million people. So you figure about one in every eight person or one in every nine people in the entire country watched this live, not counting people that recorded it and watched it later. So this was a big deal for professional wrestling at the time.
Yes, and I'm very excited because I grew up watching some wrestling stuff that you sometimes had on the TV. I'm excited to see what it all looks like in the full context because I've never actually watched like a full match beginning to end.
This is nostalgic for me because I started watching in May of 1987 and stopped about May of 1990, so about 3 years. I occasionally would watch here and there, but nothing this time in my life. It was every Saturday morning they had Superstars of Wrestling on, and I never missed that. I rarely missed it. This one I didn't get to watch live because it had a basketball game going on, but my grandparents, who had a Betamax recorder, Betamax, not VHS, Betamax recorder, recorded it for us, and then we went there and watched it on Saturday, the day after. So this was a big, big deal, and it is cheesy, but I was just curious to get a young person's reaction to this and see the what you think of 35-year-old wrestling matches. And this was at the height of professional wrestling at that time. It was huge at that time with all the different characters and whatnot. So I will post the link to this in the show notes. I'll put it on the Covert Nerd YouTube channel, so that way you can watch along with us and kind of have an alternate commentary to this. So are you ready, Ruth?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited to see all the ridiculous 80s clothing.
The soap opera for men.
Yes, yes.
Now, you have to remember, this was prime time. So this is at 7 o'clock-ish on NBC. So you're getting a lot of viewers that know nothing about wrestling. So they would be like you or similar. I don't know anything about this. I just see these flamboyant, loud characters. I don't know their stories. I don't know anything. So they had to make the show pretty general compared to some of their other shows that were there. The people watching it were somebody that watched it on a weekly basis and knew kind of what was going on. So they had to keep it kind of broad and not too deep. So we'll see how it holds up for you who knows nothing about wrestling. So, all right, let me get it queued up here. We'll do a countdown for those of you watching or listening later. So
I just saw the first like little image and I'm already excited.
So I'll do a three count. So on 1, 2, 3, hit play, and then you can follow along with this. So 1, 2, 3, play.
Yeah, look at that.
And this is the bravest woman ever to enter a wrestling ring. My manager, the lovely Elizabeth. Yeah.
So you know Macho Man, of course.
It's so funny.
And I'm going to send the honky tonk man on the first bus back to Disgraceland. Yeah.
Look how small his little shorts are.
Yes.
Actually, I don't know if I would qualify those as short.
Well, the girl next to him is actually his wife in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Elizabeth. This is the heel, of course. So they're giving a background. They bash him over the head with the guitar.
He's very lucky you don't play the piano.
I'm Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man.
Here's Andre. Princess Bride.
Oh, yes.
This would have been about a year and a half about a year after Princess Bride came out. But
okay,
about a year and a half after he filmed it.
Hogan, it felt so good. I can't wait to do it again and again and again.
So they always had these little intros to kind of give you a vibe of what was coming. They put these promos together. Hulk Hogan.
I wish wrestlers still did this today. Oh, like, this do. Is great. This is hilarious how over the top they are.
They still do. But these are just phenomenal, in my opinion. But
yeah.
So yeah, this over-the-top promo intro, it's great.
Look how oily he is. He's like a breadstick.
Breadstick. In stereo, Ruth. Can you believe it?
Ooh.
So they show all these little clips of all the wrestlers tonight that they're going to show. Honky Tonk Man is an Elvis character.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't tell. This is over the antenna, so a whopping... probably 360, 400p resolution.
Whoa. The main event.
Main event, sponsored in part by Coors Light. There's no slowdown.
Got our ads.
Oh.
This one doesn't have the ads, so. That would be even better, watching 35-year-old ads.
Oh, yeah.
So we're in Indianapolis.
For products that don't even exist.
Yes. Man, look at the crowd noise. You just—it's just deafening. Like 30,000 people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's insane. So we have Vince McMahon coming up here. He's on the right. He's the owner of WWF. And then Jesse Ventura, mm-hmm. who's an actor, used to be a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Not near the actor, like The Rock or some of the other. Wrestlers gone actors, John Cena. But at the time, he became governor of Minnesota mm-hmm. later. So what they typically did is, so Jesse would be the heel commentator. He was always for the bad mm-hmm. guys. And Vince was the babyface commentator. He was for the good guys.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's kind of the thing they did, so they'd have a little bit back and forth.
So are they, like, in a booth together,
yes.
both commentating on the fight?
Yeah, yeah, you'll hear it later, hear them commentating. Can you hear okay, or you want it a little louder?
Yeah, I can hear this pretty well, but you're kind of quiet.
Okay. He doesn't like Hogan because Hogan's the good guy. So you gotta have a training montage.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, a training montage as he's getting ready to wrestle Andre the Giant.
All those squats.
Yes. Is that how much weight you put on your squats?
Yeah.
See?
Oh yeah,
bench
definitely.
Press, that's like 400 pounds right there. You can do that.
It's really just him working out at the gym. That's this whole montage.
You need a working out montage.
I do. I don't sweat that much when I work out, though.
This is steroids at work, because you got to remember, this is the 80s.
Oh,
he took a lot
of
steroids.
You're right.
Steroids were huge in wrestling in the 80s.
Dude, I love it when guys wear tank tops like that just, like, barely cover their nipples. It's so funny.
That's awesome. I never thought of that. And then you got the ripped back. You know, you got the rips in the back of the tank top.
Oh, yeah. Like, at that point, there's just barely any shirt.
Yeah, this is recorded off of VHS, so the quality is not great. But it's also 35 years old. See? The rips in the back.
Yeah.
Got to have the rips in the back.
Oh, yeah.
See?
He's ripped in the back in two ways. Muscularly ripped and shirt ripped.
If you work out like this, you can look just like Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. No, when I'm at the gym, I work out like this all the time. I'm covered in sweat, super tan, have a mustache.
Bulging biceps. Then you gotta have the flexing at the end with the lighting.
Oh, yeah. I also do that, too.
So they have their logos. That's cool. They started doing that around this time. Have their little logos. So we do another interview with Honky Tonk. This is the heel.
You're no journalist, Green Bean. You're missing a story here. The story here is romance.
Did you call him a Green Bean?
Green Bean. Yeah, his name is Mean Gene, his nickname. Mean Gene, so they call him Green Bean just to make fun of him.
And I'm going to oblige her, being the gentleman I am, the Honky Tonk Man.
What are you saying? What are you saying, man?
What I'm saying is this. I've got the title, I've got the belt, and tonight, I'm going to get the woman, the lonely woman.
Oh, no.
And then where are you going to take her, Honky?
Where are you going to take her, Honky?
I'm going to take her down a lonely street to the Heartbreak Hotel.
You got to be kidding me.
Don't you worry. I won't be cruel. Because I know.
Hey, who's that other guy with him?
Jimmy Hart. He's a manager. So back in the day, almost all of your heel wrestlers had a heel manager that would cause trouble outside the ring and distract him. And it just brought another element to it to just show how bad, because they could cheat easier. You know, their manager would hand them stuff or, you know, distract the other wrestler and cause them to lose the titles and stuff like that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So, well, Elvis had a manager. I don't think it was Jimmy Hart. Oh, it was the Colonel. Yeah, it was the Colonel. So that's what he's kind of supposed to be mimicking, is the manager of Elvis. Yeah, see, they called him the Colonel.
His
Jimmy
manager
Hart. Yeah.
Kind of looks like Johnny Depp right now.
Oh,
I think
really?
It's just the sunglasses and the mustache, though.
Yeah. This is for the Intercontinental title. So they had two titles back then. They had the heavyweight title, which is your main superstar. And then they had this one, the Intercontinental title, which was a kind of a mid-card title. So typically, if you won the Intercontinental title, eventually you were probably going to get the championship title. Yeah, they had this girl, Peggy Sue. She was actually a female wrestler.
Oh.
They brought her in just for this.
Is she just in there?
Yeah, it's
just
again,
dancing around.
Just something to show that he's such a heel and to get you to boo him. The whole point was to get you to boo him. The wrestlers that were heels, they like it when people would yell at him and throw stuff at him. That meant that they were really doing their job well. Convincing them that they were just this horrible, evil person. Sometimes they'd get stabbed. People, when they're walking down the aisle, they'd stab him or cut him with box cutters.
Oh my gosh.
Throw batteries at him. I mean, people got real serious about this.
Wow.
There's Macho Man.
They're dedicated. Oh my gosh, it's sparkly.
Yes. The goggles.
That's great.
Yeah, the sound wasn't working here on this part. So yeah, Elizabeth is actually his real wife in real life.
Okay.
And he was extremely jealous. Like, you couldn't talk to her. You couldn't even look at her. Sometimes he would get mad. He was, I guess, really jealous in real life. Randy Poffo was his real name. Because they wanted this. He's like, let's do this thing where we bring a pretty girl with me as the manager. And he was a little hesitant. He's like, well, I don't know if I want to travel with somebody else, you know, since I'm married. He's like, what about my wife? She's kind of pretty. How about we just make her my manager? And Vince was like, okay. And then everybody loved them as a couple.
Yeah.
So there's heat between these two, because if you saw in the clip, they showed him push Elizabeth down. So that's why.
Oh, the tension.
Yeah, the tension. Listen to the crowd.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, going nuts. In the clip where they pushed Elizabeth down, Macho Man even talked to Honky Tonk Man about this. Like, okay, if we're going to do this, you got to do it like this. And they want to make sure you don't hurt her, of course.
Yeah.
And so they like reviewed it, you know, went over it. Where's she going to be in the ring? You know, all these different little nuances. Here's when she's going to come in. This is the side of the ring she's going to come in on. Savage was notorious.
I just like how sparkly he is.
Yeah. Well, he got that. There's another wrestler called Ric Flair
costumes.
That had these really expensive, elaborate looking robes, and that was just kind of the thing that they did.
Yeah.
To make it look over the top.
Oh. These characters are just crazy.
They are.
Like, they're over the top.
Just listen to, again, listen to the crowd. Of course, see, here's how the manager, the heel manager, distracts him. That's what he's there for.
I think Elizabeth likes it. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That's great.
Did you see that, though, McMahon? Elizabeth gave Honky a big smile. No, I didn't see that. Look out, here he comes. A Macho Man needs business. Macho Man, look out. Honky Tonk now. Elbow.
So Randy Savage was pretty notorious for also going through the match with the opponent ahead of time and trying to have everything worked out. This is what we're going to do next. This is what we're going to do next. Whereas Hulk Hogan was pretty notable. He said, we'll just call it in the ring. We'll figure it out while we're out there.
Okay. So, like, some of them are more scripted than others.
Yes. I mean, they all know the finish. It's just how they get there.
Yeah.
Savage tended to like to know, how are we going to get to the end? I want to know what moves we're going to do, you know, move by move by move, what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Hogan and some of those others were like, we'll just figure it out.
That's interesting. I thought that was all, like, super scripted and choreographed.
It is now. Now it is. But back in the day, a lot of people, they just would, they do what they say, call it in the ring. We'll just whisper to each other, hey, body slam me, or hey, go to the top and elbow drop me, or so. When
that's interesting, though, I feel like that would make the fight look more real if it was more improv and less choreographed.
Yes, and the wrestlers would get to decide how they would get there to the finish instead of somebody else, so it tended to be better because they kind of knew what they could and couldn't do, and what looked good and what didn't. Because you got to remember, this is televised here, but they were doing the same match probably 30 or 40 other times on non-televised events. So they would do this exact same match probably 100 times.
Okay.
So typically what you did is you went and did the local events, local arenas, and then at the end when they'd have what they call the blow-off, where they would actually drop the title or something big, then that would be televised.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here you go. So, you see, he gave him the weapon. See, for the manager, while the manager's holding, distracting the referee.
Mm-hmm.
So, they do this heel stuff. That's what makes him the heel, because they're the ones cheating. They talk about slowing down. I guess there's some wrestlers that would go too fast. But you notice how slowly he kind of just went over to get on him for the three count. And
yeah.
So they said going slower is better for the crowd, for the local crowd, because you can get them into it a little bit more.
Yeah. They have more time to acknowledge what's going on,
yes,
on in the ring.
So moves like this where they're laying down, that's designed to give them a little bit of a rest because they get tired.
Mm-hmm.
So you need some time, some downtime to kind of catch your breath. And you'll see it with Hogan and Andre, because Andre at this time was not very mobile anymore. Now these guys are young and still in pretty good shape, so they can go pretty good.
Did he just fall off the ring?
He did.
That would hurt.
Outside the ring on the Macho Man. Randy Savage thrown back into the ring. The Honky Tonk Man here, perhaps sensing victory. And again,
so was this just televised, or was this put on like the radio or anything?
Just
like audio only?
Just televised, yeah. Television only. NBC.
Just televised.
So back in the day, primarily you had ABC, NBC, and CBS as the three big networks. That's all you really had. Now, the 88, you had cable, but if you didn't have cable, that's the only three channels you had to choose from. Well, PBS, public.
Yeah.
But So this was on NBC. This was a big network. Prime time, you know, 7 o'clock at night. A lot of viewers.
Oh my gosh. You see that tension?
I know.
The manager was distracting him and he was dancing for the lady.
I know.
The drama.
So see? So while he's see the manager's, you know, choking him while the referee's trying to get Honky.
I don't know, but Honky's getting the job done he wants to do. He's distracting the referee enough with Elizabeth and allowing Jimmy Hart and Peggy Sue to do damage on the Macho Man.
See, they're such bad heels, Ruth, of cheating. See, you need some shorts with your name on the back.
I know. That's true. They both got little pants with their names on the back.
Yeah. See, even Jesse knows this, the loudness. Today, you don't hear that kind of noise.
Yeah.
I just listen to the crowds. It's going nuts. It gets even louder when Hogan comes out later. Honky Tonk Man's real name is Wayne Ferris. His real name. These guys are probably 6'1", 6'2", about 240, 250.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh, he's going to go after Elizabeth.
Oh. It's so interesting how they have, like, the fight going on, but then in little bits in between, they have their quote-unquote story of their characters going on.
Yeah, exactly right, yep. So you got the drama in the ring and the drama outside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to save her? See, this is the slow part. You know, you got to... Here comes Savage. He's going to save his girl. From the mean, nasty Honky Tonk Man. That's the story they're trying to tell, so I don't know if you're picking up on it.
Yeah.
So he's the heel. He's trying to beg for mercy. That's a common heel thing to do. Over the top. Look at that. That's probably 12 feet, 14 feet.
Oh, my gosh. Is he going to jump?
Yep.
Oh, there is like a mat down there. That makes more sense. I thought it was hard ground that they were just jumping onto.
They used to. It used to be concrete.
Ow.
Oh, is he gonna? So his patented move is the elbow drop. We'll see. Oh, he doesn't do it this time. Nope, not enough. Oh, is he gonna get there? He's gonna get the nasty heel manager. He's finally gonna get his comeuppance. Oh, moves out of the way. Oh, got him in the sleeper hold. So the girl that's playing Peggy Sue is Sherry Martel, her real name, and she ends up being the manager for Randy Savage later, several years later.
Oh, okay.
Because Elizabeth and Randy divorce in real life. Yep. So he won by count out.
Oh.
Because he can only stay out of the ring no more than a 10 count. So he won by 10 count, but you don't get the title.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I'm not too familiar with the rules of wrestling like this.
So you have to pin him for a 3 count. If you stay outside the ring for a 10 count, you get a count out. You lose, but you don't change the title. So he's got the guitar, just like last time.
Oh, is this like his signature thing,
yeah.
Like a guitar?
So you typically, yeah, he hits people with the guitar. For real.
The official should get in there and stop this. Wait a minute, look at this. From behind, Jimmy.
Uh-oh. Oh, the megaphone. So he hits him with the megaphone behind the head. Oh, Elizabeth's coming in. Oh, no. Is it going to happen again? She's going to get hurt.
Oh.
Oh, made the save.
Oh.
Kick to the midsection. And now Randy Savage has a guitar.
I could see how a lot of people would be really into this, though, especially in the time.
Yeah.
Because there probably wasn't anything else really like this.
No.
With, like, drama and action and all that kind of stuff fused together.
So he's going to break the guitar. Yeah, because you had Cable, like I said, it was around, but it was still kind of in its infancy. He's had the three big networks.
Mm-hmm.
You had VCRs. Again, they were just starting to get taken off, so they were pretty popular by 88, but I would say VCRs hit their peak probably in the early 90s. So, of course, he saved the girl.
I'm impressed she's standing on that ring with heels.
Yeah. Good point. So this is significant because in the past, he would make her open hold the ropes for him so he could get in the ring. But now he's holding the ropes for her.
Oh.
So that's the... See, he used to be a heel. About 6 months, 7 months prior to this, he was a heel. He was really mean to Elizabeth and stuff like that. Then they wanted to turn him babyface, and so that's kind of the how they did it, was he started treating Elizabeth better and stuff. So, of course, Jesse's like, he hides behind her, and, you know, this whole thing. These guys were on the road 6 days a week. He did an event every night, 6 days in a row. So he'd travel, say, like at Indianapolis. They would go to, you know, Baton Rouge the next day or Nashville or something like that. You'd have to be in a new town the next day and do it all over again, same match all over again.
Would it just be like interviews, rehearsals, events, stuff like that? Or were they always just wrestling?
You'd perform the same match. You didn't usually do the interviews all the time. Sometimes they would.
In just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the greatest...
Okay, so here they're setting up the match between Hogan and Andre.
The giant against Hulk Hogan, but you are keenly aware, Jesse Ventura, of what happened before the largest indoor crowd in the history of any event, 93,000 plus, were of course on hand in Pontiac,
yep.
Michigan.
93,000 people.
That's right, it was Hulk versus Andre. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I included feel that Andre the Giant.
So they wrestled at WrestleMania 3 back in March of 87. So this is what they're going to be talking about.
Take a look at the footage.
Oh, so it's a rematch.
Yes.
It's like a football stadium full of people.
I don't believe it was there. Andre the Giant shut it down. 2-3. Joey Morella's arm went up and down three times.
Yes, it did. So they're saying the ref did a three count.
There was no three count there. Not in anyone's wildest imagination, I don't believe. Well, you tell Andre the Giant that it wasn't a three count.
Well, here. So this is setting up this match. So January of 88, he jumped, Andre jumped Hogan from behind. So Hulk Hogan's about 6'5", 6'6", 300 pounds. And Andre's, you know.
So he's already really tall.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have Andre the Giant.
Comments from Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Now that you signed the contract, Andre, put your official stamp of approval on it.
Oh, stamp of approval.
So they're signing the contract to wrestle for the title.
Look at the size of these two guys. Huge. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the only way you could beat Andre the Giant would be with steroids.
So they brought in Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man guy. He's the rich guy to help Andre out because Andre at this time, like I said, wasn't very mobile. So you got to have some other people in there. to kind of just give Andre some time to rest and kind of distract from the fact that he's not very mobile. But, and he's a heel.
Now, I was wondering how mobile he was at this point.
Yeah, so heel guys have to have a manager, of course, a heel manager. So Million Dollar Man is the one on the left. Virgil is his bodyguard, is the black guy on the right. Obviously a hulk of moron cheated on the three count. Hulk of moron. I love these names. And Hogan won't squirm loose. That coward has run from Andre for a year. Tonight, he meets the giant. And the rest is history.
All right, Ted DiBiase, obviously you are very confident. Wrestling is so much like theater. It's just really funny the more you think about it. Because they got really flashy costumes. They have characters. They have an audience to perform for.
They have a personality.
Yeah, they have a personality.
They have kind of their gimmick, their shtick that they have to kind of stick to.
Yeah. As always, with those nickel and dime Hulkamaniacs. Hulk Hogan is small change compared to Andre the Giant. Your account is overdrawn, Hogan. And Andre's gonna close it. Oh. Andre the Giant. Once I can get my hands on you, I'll never stop. Never! I'm going to squeeze and twist and squeeze again and squeeze and then never stop it. We'll that's it, Andre! This is for the money! Let's go! Sure it is for the money, Vince. After all, Andre the Giant has millions of reasons to become the heavyweight champ. Let's go back to you. So a Million Dollar Man is paying him to wrestle Hogan and try to get the title from him. That's the whole shtick, the storyline. Okay. I talked briefly to Ted DiBiase at Comic-Con. Him and Virgil were there. It's kind of cool. I asked him about it. I love that guy has a sleeveless suit jacket.
Yeah, it's awesome. Virgil came up and talked to me because I was helping. I was volunteering at Comic-Con. And he was like, hey, because they were set up to do autographs and stuff. And he's like, hey, where do we set up for our autograph booth? And I said, oh, the autographs are over here in this area. He's like, well, make sure you tell Ted exactly where it's at. He'll never find the place. The Giant has millions of reasons to become the World Wrestling
Federation heavyweight champion. Well, with all the controversy mean Gene from WrestleMania 3. Does he not have, like, a manager?
No.
Is he by himself?
Baby faces don't usually. Okay, I want you to notice something. Notice his belt. So notice what the belt looks like.
Yes.
And then when he comes out, look at the belt again and see if you notice a difference. So he's doing his little promo. So you can tell the script has this kind of money theme.
If he's coming out that oily in the ring, Andre the Giant's never going to be able to hold on to him. He's just going to be slipping.
Slip and slide all over the place.
Yeah.
They do that to make you look, all wet and, I guess.
Yeah.
So here's Hogan coming out.
Andre who?
Now listen to the crowd.
This would be such a cool event to go to real life.
Yeah. Okay, now to look at the belt. Does it look different?
Yeah.
It does. This is when they changed the belt, the style. They got a different belt style. So the promo you just saw was filmed earlier in the day. And then later in the day, they're like, hey, we got a new belt for you. Nobody thought, hey, maybe we should have him bring the old belt out that he was doing in the promo.
Is he going to fight with that belt?
Yep. That was pretty common. You'd hit him with the belt sometimes.
Well, Hogan might have been better save his energy till the bell rings. Do they each have, like, theme music they walk out to?
Yes. So Hogan did. You're here at Savage, and Honky Tonk Man had their music. But Andre didn't. He didn't have. You didn't need to.
Mm.
He's Andre. Yeah, but Hogan did. Real American. Got to have the finger pointing and the peacocking. Then the ripping the shirt, that was his signature thing. Rip the shirt off.
Oh my gosh, the match hasn't even started. He's already ripping his shirt.
Exactly. So he's not all oiled up here. Notice.
Aw, that's okay. He has a sweat to oil him up.
He does the ear thing where he lets hear the crowd. He kind of gets the crowd into it. He goes around each corner. Who's the loudest? Kind of his little shtick. Again, each wrestler has their shtick.
Gotta hype up the crowd.
Exactly.
Especially if you're playing that over-the-top personality where your ego is through the roof. Gotta take it all in, make the crowd go crazy.
That was the point. You gotta get them to pay to see you.
Is he arguing with the ref?
Yeah, the heels always argue with the refs. Yeah. So half of the fun is just the pre stuff. It's not even the match itself. It's just all the hoopla that goes with it.
I was going to say, Andre looks so, like, chill.
Yeah, that was his.
He's just
there. That was kind of his shtick. I'm so big. I don't have to do all this. I can beat you without even trying. See, remember I was talking about slowing it down? This helps the crowd get into it and kind of slow it down. You know, kind of tease him a little bit, stuff like that. We call it the tease in radio when you tease the next segment. That's kind of what this is, kind of tease people. That can work against you. Also, I like the giant style. He stayed cool, he stayed calm. Hogan's been in total turmoil. Hawks are ready to go. Well, wait a minute, I think Andre now, for the last minute, word of advice. Here comes the Hulkster. Gonna attack the other guys.
Oh my gosh, just throwing them in the ring.
I know, it's great. The boot, it's crazy. The big old boot. Yep. See, you got it. That's why they had those two there to help get some action so that Andre wouldn't have to do everything. Otherwise, it'd be kind of boring.
That makes sense.
Because Andre just couldn't do much. His knees and back were pretty shot.
Although I will say I'm slightly disappointed because neither of these guys have their names on their
Their trunks, yes.
Like the other two. Yeah.
Good point. Hogan and Andre really never had amazing matches, but it's just the personality of both of them was what sold everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre was an attraction just because he was gigantic.
Did Andre have really good matches, like, in previous years before this when he was a bit more mobile?
He did when he was younger, back in the early 80s. Yeah, his matches were a lot better, but you could definitely tell the decline by probably 85, 86. You could tell it was he was really starting to slow down. But yeah, back in the early 80s, he could move pretty good. Even though even then he was, well, five, you know, maybe not 500. He's like 480. He was only 480 pounds.
He's 400 pounds?
Well, here he's about 500.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Probably 520, maybe. But when he was younger, yeah, he was only, back in the early 80s, only 470, 480.
That's crazy.
Well, Hogan, well, then he's 300. He's 300.
Yeah, then you definitely need steroids to compete with him. Because no normal human being is going to weigh that much and be able to wrestle. Now, I'd be interested to see the contrast between this fight and how he was a few years ago.
Yeah. They're probably, well, back early on, he didn't go heel until 87. So him and Andre would wrestle together sometimes. Yeah, you can go on YouTube and find old matches with Andre. You know, just go on YouTube, Andre 1981 or 1982. You'll see tons of clips of old matches. He had a big afro and this big poofy hair.
That's amazing.
But see, look at the ref. And look at Andre on his knees is still taller than the ref. See, look at the ref standing up is just slightly taller than Andre on his knees.
Just, no, I saw that earlier, that like the ref just looks so tiny compared to both of them.
The ref's just a normal guy. He's probably 5'8", 5'9". You know, just a regular size guy. When he wrestled Andre earlier at WrestleMania, you know, they told him Vince left the you know, the match ending up to them, whether he was going to drop the, whether Hogan was going to drop the title or not. And they didn't really even know up until that day, because Andre never, they never really discussed it, I guess. So Hogan says, I didn't know if I was going to lose or win. He's like, you can't make him, you know, if he doesn't want to lose, he's not going to lose.
That's true.
Even if Vince told him you need to lose, you know, you're not going to make the Giant do, you know, if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it.
That's kind of nice that they get the decision, though, if they want to lose or not.
Yeah.
And it's not like some big manager or producer that's like, you're going to lose this title in this match and blah, blah.
At this level, they could kind of call their shots. Vince obviously could tell him, hey, you know, we need to have you drop the title. Sometimes they wouldn't. Like the previous guy, Honky Tonk Man, he didn't want to drop the title to Macho Man at this event. I guess they were supposed to, but he didn't want to.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nowadays, that doesn't happen. You got contracts and stuff. But back then, here, you could, the talent, if they were popular enough, they could kind of call the shots. Later years, they did. Guys like John Cena, he could kind of do what he wanted. The Rock,
yeah.
Those guys. Oh, see, we got heel stuff going on. See, put the strap around his neck. Get in there, referee. I don't think Hefner, the referee, sees it. Yes, he has to see that. Come on, give me a break. As you said before, Hefner doing a good job thus far. But most of this, I guarantee you, Hogan was known for just calling it in the ring. So was Andre. They would just say, okay, body slam me, or I'm going to give you the boot. Otherwise, they'd just do stuff. If they wanted something specific, they would tell them when they were close together. You can kind of see their lips move when they're in a bear hug or something like that. They'll say, okay, slam me, or come back, or, you know, something like that. Oh, goodness.
I love how overdramatic they are with, like, every chokehold.
Yeah.
Whole body is shaking.
So Hogan's doing his big comeback. This is kind of his shtick. He has this big comeback, and all of a sudden, just a Hulk out on you. That was kind of his shtick.
Hulkster hammering into the forehead.
Andre's gone. Hogan's still alive. DiBiase and Virgil are still alive. Macho Man's gone. Elizabeth is gone. But Honky Tonk's still alive. I mean, they're all in their 60s now. Oh, see? The heel.
Oh.
Heel guy is in trouble. Oh, he's going to go for the leg drop. He got it.
Oh.
That's his patented move. But look what happened. The Virgil.
Oh, because I see what's happening.
The Virgil's got him distracted.
Distracting the
referee. So Hogan's mad. I won. You didn't see it. But the ref didn't count. Oh, no. Andre's going to come from behind. Oh, got him. What? He had the shoulder.
That was cheating.
The shoulder was up. Shoulder was up. But the ref didn't see it. Or did he? Those heels stealing.
I like how the narrators also have beef going on.
Yeah, the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this is the finish. So Andre won the title. They cheated.
I would like to be in that audience and just hear how everyone's reacting to that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was deafening. So they're going to interview Andre here. Okay, so he just surrendered the title to Ted. So remember, Ted was going to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
So the evil rich guy got the title.
Won. Oh, I thought he was going to slam him down, the referee.
So they spent about a year building up Ted DiBiase as this mean, evil rich guy, and they would pay him. He would pay people in the audience to do stuff, and then he'd cheat him out of the money, and that was kind of the whole shtick. So everybody hated him because he's an evil rich guy. Okay, look what we got going on in the background now.
Wait a minute. Is that Dave Hebner? Or is that Dave Hebner? How could there be two Dave Hebners? Look at these guys. Wait a minute.
You got two refs that look identical. They're actually brothers in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're twins.
Wait, though. No, the guy on the right is. Wait a minute. The Hulkster's coming over to figure out which the official referee.
So which one was the ref?
Oh, are they saying that the ref got, like, paid off?
Yes. So Million Dollar Man paid the ref off to switch out refs.
Mm.
The real ref. So they're Dave and Earl Hebner in real life.
Who's the real Dave Hebner? You tell me, Jesse Ventura, and what is going on here?
I think it's the one on the left. I think the Dave.
I'm actually pretty interested in this story right now. I'm enjoying this fight.
Look at these two. Well, each one, they look like identical twins. They're shoving each other. Move on the right hand.
Oh!
Gotta kick him.
Gosh, the refs are fighting.
Ah, there's the fake one. He took the money. See the money on the ground, on the mat there? Fell out of his pocket. So that's kind of how they're showing he got paid off.
I wonder what they did with the real Dave Hebner. I don't get him out of the mat.
I don't care what, though, but Hogan is not allowed to manhandle referees like this.
I don't believe that man's a legal official.
So you got to make the evil ref pay back, so Hogan's got to take him down.
Oh, yeah.
So they're coming back out. So they got to come out because they got to catch him. We'll see. Look how far he throws him. Boom.
Oh, my gosh.
They didn't quite catch him.
Ow.
Because Hogan, like I said, is probably 6'4", 6'5". You put him up in the air, that's another, he's probably 10 feet. And then you throw him about 20 feet.
That was very impressive. Just holding a fully grown man above your head and chucking him.
So here we got a tag team match going on, but this is live, so you don't know how long the matches are going to go. So they had to kind of cut this out, but okay, they're going to interview Hogan. Obviously, he's mad because he lost the title.
How much money did they spend on the plastic surgery, man? I had all bases covered. I had the Hulkamaniacs watching DiBiase. I had Virgil in his place.
Hulkamania.
Brother.
I think that I would get ripped off by a penny pinching two-timing referee. How much money on the plastic surgery? How much money did he spend to pay the referee off? When I turned around, me and Gene, they were identical. Identical. Shoulder.
That's it.
The referee has paid off, brother. Look at the $100 bill falling out of his pocket.
I know you're disappointed. Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, Jesse Ventura.
We're back in Indianapolis, ladies and gentlemen. Back here.
So now the reason they had to take the title off of him is because he was going to go do a movie later. So that was part of the reason. So they had to find a way. He'd had it for 4 years. He got it in February of 84, and this is February of 88. So he had it quite a while.
Wow. Yeah.
So here's the Hart Foundation, who Jimmy Hart, remember the manager for Honky Tonk Man?
Yeah.
So they had to just end it right there because this stuff's live. So yeah, there's the NBC logo. Yeah.
Ooh, a live entertainment special.
So, yeah. All right. So, that was the main event from February 5th, 1988.
That was crazy.
All right. Your thoughts?
Okay. So, the first fight, I will say I wasn't as interested in. Just like, I don't know, the character-wise, I wasn't as interested in them. They weren't as interesting. They didn't. I feel like they also didn't have as much conflict. And I also didn't like the story they went with because the typical guy, girl, saving the girl, damsel in distress. But I did, I actually really liked the second fight. I liked where they went with the characters and the story. I like how they paid off the ref and they had two brothers being the referees. Yeah, I like that. That was enjoyable.
So you were able to follow the Hogan Andre kind of what was going on?
Yeah, that one was a lot easier to follow. It was different. Okay. It wasn't just, ooh, pretty ladies and we're fighting over the pretty ladies.
Okay.
I like how, and I also like how they built up like even though I hadn't known anything previously, but I like how they built up the $1 million man, like how you said that they had people in the audience like getting paid off and all this stuff, and they're building up to like this whole thing where he loses his title.
Yeah.
I thought that was very
loses
that was
the
cool.
title because the rich guy paid off the ref and he bought Andre and you know the whole thing. He's basically all these little plans in the background. He's doing the maneuvering in the background. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah. It wasn't contained to one fight. There was other little details that went into the final fight.
Okay. Did you see or predict what was going to happen? I guess the twin referees and paid off, or did you see that coming?
I did not.
Okay.
I also didn't think Andre was going to win. I don't know if you said anything about it before, but. I didn't think he was going to win.
Oh, okay. So you were kind of shocked, like, whoa, Andre won.
I was. Yeah, I thought they were going to, like, recount it or something or get the belt back. I thought he was going to, like, go after Andre and try and steal the belt back or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
When he figured out the referees were fake.
Okay. What about the pacing? Could you kind of tell Andre was a little immobile there? You know, he just couldn't move very well. Yeah,
the pacing was a lot slower. I guess fight-wise, I liked the first fight better because it was a bit more, you know, people were going out of the ring.
Yeah.
They were kind of interacting with the managers a little bit more and causing a little more drama.
Faster. It was a little faster paced. The guys could move a little bit more.
Yeah.
That guy's jumping off the...
But story-wise, I like the second one more.
Because you had Macho Man, you know, jumping off the top of the ropes and jumping clear down. It was a lot faster.
Yeah.
Moving. Yeah.
Although I did like how Hulk Hogan just fully threw the referee out of the ring. That was great.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an amazing finish. So Bruce Pritchard, he does a podcast. He was the guy that kind of behind the scenes does a lot of things. And he was just amazed. He'd done wrestling for years. He's like, yeah, this is one of the best finishes that they ever came up with. The twin referees that got paid off. I mean, that was just a cool little twist at the end.
That was great. I enjoyed that.
So, okay. So, 1988 wrestling. Not too bad, huh?
Not too bad. I would watch it.
You'd watch it, especially if it was 1988 and you only had two channels.
1980. Exactly. I would definitely watch it then.
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of others.
But it would have been so cool to see this in real life, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's not another... Because, like, there's sporting events, yes, but there isn't another, like, televised huge event like that probably going on anywhere.
No.
Or before that.
I mean, really. They still do it now. But, yeah, just back then, I imagine just hearing the crowds and just going nuts. I mean, when I was this age, I went to one in summer of 87 in Lincoln. It was not this caliber. It was what they call the B tour. They had A, B, and C guys. So there was a B tour. So you weren't going to see Hulk Hogan or Macho Man, but you had some undercard guys. But yeah, live, of course, just like anything, is better than the televised version. So
yeah, but you said you couldn't hear the commentators, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the commentator was talking. He's like, I can barely hear myself. This is how loud it was. And you can watch on YouTube wrestlers talk about events like this where just the crowd noise is just deafening. It's just so loud back in the 80s and 90s, especially for guys like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, those top card guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, good. I was curious to get your reaction to a 35-year-old show that's just over the top.
I love their costumes. That was great,
costumes,
too.
Yeah, just the over the top.
Yes.
The loudness, them. All their little interview and one-liner promos and stuff like that. And yeah, when I was
I love the interviews because they're just taking their characters times 100, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That intro, I had that thing memorized as a kid, and I could even do the voices and everything. So I could talk like Macho Man and all sorts of stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to come out in a sparkly cape.
Yeah, in the goggles. Right?
In the goggles.
Yeah, got to have the goggles and the sparkly cape. Mm-hmm. Got to have your name on the back. So,
oh yeah,
there's stories about Macho Man on planes that he would, kids would come up and talk to him. He'd be real nice to him and you know, talk to him about, are you Macho Man? Yeah. And he'd do the voice and everything. His voice was like that in real life. He got hit. He played baseball. So he got hit in the throat with the baseball, I guess. And that's what happened. That's why his voice is kind of gravelly and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So he would talk to, he was real good with kids. Everybody said he was really good to the kids and stuff. Him and Elizabeth would take time to sign autographs and talk to the kids and stuff. So,
oh, that's cute.
Yep. So
that's good.
He was just overly jealous with Elizabeth, though. That was kind of his big downfall. He was, but anyway, I wanted to run that by you just to get somebody, the youngins.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to do another one. There's tons of these that were really popular back in the 80s. Maybe we can check out.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And thanks, Ruth. And until next time, nerd it up.